Welcome to the Northwest Cannabis Chronicle. I'm Russ Belville. Today we've got a gentleman from Alaska speaking to us about the High Expedition Company. His name's Joe McEnany, and he's got a lot to tell us about what's happening in the development of legalization in Alaska. So, Joe, welcome to the program.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Russ.
We also have kind of an interesting connection between you and the marijuana agenda, as you're a former student of our good friend, Dr. Mitch Earlywine. So we wanted to give Dr. Mitch a shout out.
Yeah. Great professor, great guy. And, you know, I credit some of my startings in the industry to, you know, being influenced and motivated by some of his teachings. So yeah, thanks, Dr. Mitch.
Well, let's talk about the High Expedition Company. What are you doing up there in Alaska? What is your business all about?
Yeah, so we're taking on a kind of unique approach. I'm located in Talkeetna, Alaska, which is approximately 100 miles north of Anchorage. And Talkeetna is a historic town in Alaska. It's about 100 years old. You know, formerly known for trapping and mining history, but it's also sort of the jumping off base camp point for all expeditions and mountain climbers in the Alaska range. So we get a lot of people from all over the world. Every summer we get about 350,000 out-of-state tourists to come through our little town. And, you know, all these mountain climbers are leaving from here. So we've teamed up with a historic family, the Gené family, who is, you know, Ray Gené is a famous mountain climber from Talkeetna that had the first guiding business on Denali in the late 60s, ultimately ended up dying on Everest in 1979. But to keep this brief, he ended up building the cabin that we're in. So our retail storefront, so we're opening a retail marijuana dispensary on Main Street, Talkeetna, in the cabin that was originally built by this mountain climber for his business to be run out of. So we've taken it full circle, and this guy's a very interesting character. His name's Ray Gené once again, and you know, he kind of looks like the Dos Equis most interesting man in the world. We're building our entire brand around him. And the assimilation is, as he pioneered the mountain climbing industry, we're sort of pioneering the cannabis industry here in Alaska. So there's a lot of assimilations there, and we're really trying to do this professionally and help break some stigmas down for people by creating a healthy, active lifestyle brand, not just a marijuana retail storefront brand. So a lot of history. The storefront's going to be sort of half a museum, half a dispensary. So it's going to be a really unique experience for a lot of tourists. So that's sort of the gist of what we're doing in terms of our business. We're also opening a extraction facility and building a cultivation facility in the near future as well.
So marijuana has always been somewhat tolerated in the state of Alaska since 1975, and the Raven decision said that people had a privacy right to cultivate and use their own cannabis. Of course, Alaska passed legalization in 2014 along with the state of Oregon and Washington, D.C. But while it did pass with a majority of the voters, when it comes to implementing it, sometimes we find a lot of complaints and a lot of problems cropping up. What have you been going through with the High Expedition Company as far as trying to get this ball rolling?
Yeah. So it really has been a high expedition, you know, all around. It's we've single-handedly faced the most protest out of any business in the Alaska cannabis industry, hands down, by a magnitude of somewhere around 10 to 15. After you count up all the news stories and interviews and everything that we've had to be involved in. But, you know, here's what it comes down to. Most of Alaska, like you said, is tolerant, and most of the people are receptive of the industry, especially now since, just like every other state, we've had dispensaries in business for, you know, 6 to 8 months now, and the sky hasn't fallen yet. Most people kind of forgot about it, and it's business as usual, and there is some tax revenue coming in. So a lot of people are pretty excited about that. But here in Talkeetna, we're facing a vocal minority. And during my hearing for my license, we had about 25 people call in. My hearing was an hour and 20 minutes long. Most of the other hearings averaged about 10 minutes. So this has been something that's been leading up for over the past year. I've faced day in and day out slander, defamation of character, claims. People have just resorted to attacking me personally. and because they can't find anything else to come to really to grab onto. But what it comes down to, Russ, is there's a case of localism here, and there's a few people here that grew up here and from here that they think they're entitled to everything. They don't like change. So they've really taken a nasty approach to try to stop me and my business. And, you know, I've prepared for this. I'm the treasurer of the Chamber of Commerce here. I'm the chair of the Water and Sewer Board. So I volunteered a lot of my time, got to know the community, really integrated myself in the community. And I have a letter of support from every business owner and property owner on Main Street in Talkeetna. So if you look at the facts, we really did our preparation and prepared ourselves. But when it comes to the protest, you just have people that are just radical prohibitionists that, you know, they're making claims that I've vandalized the airport here and that the FBI is investigating me. And so we've actually had to go and to our lawyers and issue cease and desist letters and even, you know, possible litigation potential because of the severity of the harassment that we've started to face just for trying to open our business while at the same time doing it above board and professional. I've been to hundreds of council meetings and assembly meetings, and, you know, I've gone through the whole gamut of the local government process. So, you know, I think this is going to be we did get our license with a 3-2 vote. We're the only licensee in Alaska that won by a split decision. Everyone else had unanimous votes. So that was kind of interesting. And, you know, everywhere I go now, people in the industry are like, you know, thumbs up and high five and good job, guys, because we were kind of, everyone was rooting for us since we were the only business that really faced much protest. So we chalk it up as a pretty big win for the industry and kind of prevailing against some of these extreme people that have really resorted to, you know, just straight up harassment and, you know, attacking me personally, not even anti-marijuana claims. So, you know, that's where we're at today.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable. You sent me a copy of one of the complaint letters, and it's got some of the typical reefer madness, saying that marijuana is going to cause short-term memory problems, severe anxiety, paranoia, psychosis, strange behavior, panic feelings, hallucinations, loss of personal identity, lowered reaction times, increased heart rate, increased risk of stroke, problems with coordination, impaired driving, sexual problems, higher chances of dropout, poor school performance, decline in IQ, lowered life satisfaction, addiction, potential opiate abuse, relationship problems, antisocial behavior, stealing, lying, financial difficulties, increased welfare dependence, and a greater chance of being unemployed. Joe, I'm just wondering, legalization caused all of this? I mean, haven't you had marijuana in Alaska for a few decades now?
Yeah, you know, and you know, Russ, and we're getting so crazy here where, you know, that person's probably going to lose some friends if we printed that out and hung it out at the post office, because you're starting to offend a lot of people that use cannabis for, you know, all kinds of reasons, and to make claims that, you know, that broad is just, you know, it's just ridiculous. So, you know, you can see these people, you know, the intelligence isn't really up there, and they're literally believing that cannabis is still a narcotic and is going to ruin the town and, you know, drive all of their children to madness and loss of identity. So, yeah. You know, it's, you know, and here I am, you know, and as people in the industry that are successful and motivated, and people that use cannabis, whether they're doctors, lawyers, whatever, you know, it's just really hard to comprehend how some of this thinking can still be, you know, existing in our society today.
Yeah, it's amazing. And you'd think that if such a substance existed, you'd rather have it in locked, secured shops where they're checking IDs rather than letting untested, untrained criminals deal the substance. But okay, let's get on to the other part of this, which was, you had mentioned some of the slander coming your way, some of the libel. And one of these points was you being under investigation in the state of Florida. What is the genesis of this point?
Yeah, so this is sort of an ironic thing that, you know, it just proves that these people are trying to research me and dig up anything they can from my past, which is another level of, you know, coercion and conspiracy. But essentially, there's a person with the same exact name as me that I'm not even sure if there's relation, but, you know, I went back and did the double reverse research. Come to find out that they had actually been charged with some crimes relating to illegal marijuana growing operation. But it's not me. And, you know, I grew up in upstate New York. So it's kind of fun. It's kind of comical. You know, it's like they're just searching for anything they can. And now they're making claims that I'm under investigation. When if you look up the article, the person was actually arrested about 10 years ago and already had served their time. So that's actually a closed book case and already moved on from. So yeah, they're just trying to, you know, just like the claims that I vandalized the airport here, it's intimidation, because they're trying to make claims that I've been doing things that would invoke the, you know, response from federal authorities. So really it's scare tactics, and that's why we're pursuing legal ramifications, because it's not okay to, you know, you can call me whatever you want and I'll be okay with it. But when you start interfering with my wellness in terms of how I live my day-to-day life and what I worry about, you know, that's when we have to kind of take action and respond. So now that we have our license and we've won that victory, we're going to definitely, you know, respond with the right channels.
Well, I'm glad you are. Glad you're fighting back against this. And we wish you the best of luck there in Talkeetna, Alaska. The shop is the High Expedition Company. And Joe McEnany is doing a great job up there bringing Alaska the benefits of legalized marijuana. Joe, do you have any contact information or websites you want to tell our listeners about?
Yeah, so our website is just thehighexpedition.com, and high spelled H-I-G-H, so all one word, thehighexpedition.com. My email is joe@thehighexpedition.com. Feel free to send me an email and ask any questions. And yeah, we're just real excited about bringing a local/worldly celebrity brand into the cannabis industry. You know, that's not just Willie Nelson or someone else that you would expect, but we're really doing a really unique and kind of cool take on this celebrity branding, and I'm excited for everyone to kind of see what we're doing.
I too like the idea of positioning cannabis as a part of a healthy and adventurous lifestyle. So I appreciate that aspect of it as well, Joe. Thank you for talking to us today on the Northwest Cannabis Chronicle here on the Marijuana Agenda.
Yeah, thank you very much, Russ, and I look forward to talking to you in the future.